Gospel chapter 10. I still got a little fight in me. I know I'm aged, and I know that some are, you know, wondering, preacher, just when are you going to get out of the way? Well, let me say something about the preacher's time of preaching, the extent of his ministry. If he belongs to God and he knows God and he hears the voices of the Holy Spirit of God talking to him, he'll know when to stop. When the Lord shows me I'm not gonna be able to do a good job and I'm not gonna have a good memory enough to remember scriptures and I can't stay on course, and I know some think that I don't, but when I go off on some different area that the ministry I believe that leads to, you know, the Bible isn't just two or three verses that you're reading and working on. You can find connecting verses, and so you go off in there and get them that relate to the same subject. But when I get to where I can't do that, and I can't remember anything I'm writing down, and I can't remember any of the scriptures I memorized, I'll sit down. But until that time, I'm sorry, but you'll have to put up with me. You just have to put up with my loud mouth and hard ways and miserable. You just have to put up with it. Guess who the speaker is here in John 10? Guess who's the one that's speaking these words? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not Pastor Owen or any other preacher. It's Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's addressing the Pharisees. He gets down there and he tells you that he's addressing these people. He said in verse 1, "Verily I say unto you," and look down verse 6, "this parable spake Jesus unto them." And he's telling you who he's speaking to, but they understood not what things he spake unto them. So he's speaking to these Pharisees directly. All speakers have critics. I dare you to try to speak publicly and see if you don't have some critics that'll try to correct you, if they got nerve. But these are the critics of Jesus. They constantly, if you went to the chapter we had finished back here in 9, they were constantly criticizing him, who he was, even called him a sinner, and said he couldn't be trusted, you can't believe him, we don't know who he is, blah, blah, blah. And so he's going to get tough here. I like it when Jesus gets tough. I don't agree with mealy-mouthed preachers that just want to sing a message and try to just kind of impress people and entertain them. That isn't what preachers given to. When the Holy Spirit of God anointed Paul to preach and told him how to tell other preachers to preach, he said, "Preach the word." When either instant in season or out of season, whether it's accepted or whether it's not accepted. Don't preach just when people are smiling and laughing and agreeing with you. Preach when they're mad and fire at you. John Wesley said, if you're not getting mad, you ain't preached. He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Talk real softly with them. Is that what it says? He tells us to reprove and rebuke. And he says, add this in that you'll be careful. Add this in to your reproving and your rebuking. I want you to do it. I want you to be strong. I want you to be straight. Reprove and rebuke with all long suffering and doctrines. Words that you can back up what you're saying. So that's preaching, Bible style. Jesus was preaching. He came preaching. John the Baptist came preaching. He used preaching to save them which believe. He used preaching preaching of the cross to save them which believe. So he's preaching to these people. These people that has turned him off. Now, I want you to listen here. He's tried to help these people. He's tried to be kind to them. He's answered their questions in the previous chapter. He's listened to them. Now he's going to nail their hides and tell who they are and what they're doing. He's not going to be slack. He's going to be direct. He's going to tell them what he thinks of them. He's not going to tiptoe around and try to ease them into heaven. No, he's going to be straight. They're not going. How do you know, preacher? Because they did not receive the word of God. They didn't understand it. Well, wait a minute, preacher. You said, this is something that you've got to keep a number of issues in your mind when you're speaking of hearing and receiving. A person that has a open mind and an open heart, God will deal with. If they're humble, if they're sensitive, I can say it in two words. Good soil. Good ground. If they're good ground, he'll poke seed in. But if they're not good ground and they've got a lot of stuff in them that won't receive the word will have no effect in them, that's not his fault. It's one of the reasons I don't like that word, I don't understand. Because that puts the responsibility back on God. You didn't tell them, you didn't explain to them, you didn't give them a chance. They can't understand. That's a lie. Anybody tells you they can't understand is because they don't want to understand. The Bible says, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not because you're not of God. You don't want nothing to do with him. You don't want to listen to him. You don't want to believe him. You turn him off. You reject him. When a person rejects Christ, hard to say that they've been abandoned by God. He's left them alone. They don't want him. Have it your way. Their foolish heart is darkened. There isn't much hope for them. He calls these people, notice what he says, verily, verily, truly, truly, he's saying these words which mean also, the word verily, verily has three different meanings to it. Truly, truly, verily, verily, and amen, amen. This is it. This is the way it is. Nothing further to add. I'm dealing with this thing in an amen, amen. You might say he's telling them, this is the end. This is probably the last time I'll speak to you. Over the years, you've heard preachers preach, and you've heard them say, I felt sure that when I got saved, it was my last chance. I believe it was the end. I don't believe that God was going to talk to me anymore. I believe this was it. So many miss their day of visitation. That's what the Bible says. They missed their day of visitation. He don't walk that way anymore. God don't beg people to accept him. What kind of a God would it look like that he had to beg people? That means he wouldn't be wonderful, wouldn't be glorious. He wouldn't be desirable. He had nothing to offer. And so he'd have to beg him. That's the wrong God. That's the wrong God. If you realize who the God of the Bible is, you'll have no problem. Just what I said back earlier, him sparing your life. Try to figure out the little word S-O. I'll give you something to challenge you to study and figure out what the little word S-O. God, S-O, loved the world. So, figure it out. Little word goes to eternity. It's how much he loved you while you were still a sinner. Well, I'm getting away from the message. God looked at these men and he said, I'm going to tell you what you really are. I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, he that entereth not into the place of the assembly, he that entereth not rightfully belonging to the house of God, he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, you'll find Jesus says that he is the door in verse number 9. I am the door. The only door, the only true door, the only way you're going to get in. You don't get in any other way. But these people enter in another way. They enter into the fellowship, into the assembly, into the house of God of their own way. They have designed and perfected a way that even the saints accept them. It's hard to believe it. And you wonder, where's the Holy Spirit? Where is he? Where is he? That people don't have discernment and discern what is in the church and what's affecting the church and what's influencing the church. And he said, these people, knows what he calls them. He said, the same is a thief and a robber. And if you go down to verse number 12, he says they're hirelings also. These are people that steal their way in by falsely presenting themselves, saying they're something they're not, putting on a hypocritical kind of a facade of their life, just showing that they are spiritual. You know, every one of you sitting here has been in church for a good while. You've known people that really put it on. And you like me, thought, man, they got something. I remember the boy standing over there about where Josh is sitting, standing looking this way. I remember him standing, I can see him today. Got his hands up, tears just rolling. How good God was to him. How he loved God. He'd just been down to a Bible school for a while. I mean, you wouldn't believe for a moment that guy wasn't saved. You were sure he was saved. He died a drug dealer. They come in another way. They come in very convincing, very subtle. We read in 2 Corinthians that the devil has his preachers. They belong to him and they preach for him. And they preach doctrines of devils. And it's in the book of Timothy chapter 4, I think it's verse 1. Doctrines of devils. And Christians. somehow have not matured enough, all of us to some extent. I'm telling you, they don't trick me like they used to. They used to catch me off guard quite a bit. I've learned, grown. And I'm telling you, one of my teachers that helped me to have better discernment is, of course, the Holy Ghost, number one. Number two is my wife. She'd tell me, preachers, she'd say, honey, he's not right. I said, how do you know that? She said, I'm telling you, I don't even want to be alone with that guy in the same room. I said, honey, he's a strong preacher. He's good. He's hard. He's straight. Man, he holds the word of God up. I know he's straight. She says, he's not right. He got caught with another preacher's wife. Stood behind this pulpit. They're thieves and robbers and hirelings. The hireling is out to destroy. He's out to destroy. The thieves and the robbers are out to steal from you the wonders of salvation, the wonders of God's goodness to you, to spoil your Christian life, to interfere in your fellowship with the saints. Let me ask you, when there's not harmony and unity in the church, is it God's fault? Is it God's fault? You think God's causing it? You can't blame those things on God. You can't blame, differences and all those things. Things that we just can't get over, things we think of other people, things we conjure up in our mind of bitterness, of anything that people do, we bitter, 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 bitter. We won't give it up. We won't confess it as sin. Just keep on. I've listened to messages, and I told you I'll listen to one by Adrian Rogers. And I'm going to listen to it again. I've listened to it before. But I don't remember him, and he might have, and I just forgot it. But I don't remember him really dealing in depth with how you deal with and what it's costing you and how separated you are from God, and God won't deal with you. God won't accept you. See, they want you to believe that you're still on good ground with God and everything's going fine, even though you're bitter. That's a lie. That's a lie. If he won't accept your prayer and your offering, you're on tough ground. You're not on very good ground, I can tell you that right now. These thieves and robbers are men that prove that they're not saved. The Bible tells you down here, it says that he that is of God, that tells us in chapter 8, verse 47. It tells us in here, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep know me. He says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And verse 3, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Let me tell you something about this hearing. Hearing has a number of ways of defining people. When a preacher preaches, if he's got what God put in him to discern, look at me good. He knows when people are receiving and rejecting. I know everyone in this building, whether you're receiving or rejecting. Not because I'm smart, not because I'm super spiritual, just because it's evident when people do not want to hear the Bible. They'll find other ways to entertain themselves, look around. I've had women sitting there filing their fingernails. Do you think I believe that she was listening to the Word of God? Preacher, I've seen men do everything else, different things, try to distract, look down, look like they're super spiritual, read their Bible, I think. When a preacher's preaching, you ought to look at him. Right. Eye contact makes a big difference in you. And these men steal the very thoughts and the minds of doctrine. They steal the truth out of you. They rob you of what the Bible says. They distract your mind. They try to destroy you. And they're sitting right in church. Did you know if we turn over Revelation chapter 2, it talks about a seat where the devil sits in church? It's the devil's, it actually calls it the devil's seat. It's his seat. And it says also in chapter 2 that thou hast a place where Jezebel, that's leading people to fornication. She was a sodomite. Sitting right in church. Now, their goal is to rob you of everything they can. I'm cutting my message short. I'm going to cut it off. They're trying to rob you of your fellowship with God. You're trying to rob you of your love for your fellow Christians. They're trying to rob you of your children. I don't know whether I ought to read some of this stuff or not. But the Bible tells us in the book of Peter, look there real quick with me, chapter 2 Peter chapter 2. I dare you to read this. Second Peter chapter 2, dare you to read this. Verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery, and that they cannot cease from sin. Is that kind of what they're preaching today? That nobody can stop sinning? Follow with me. Beguiled, unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetousness practices. The next two words, would you look at your Bible and read it real carefully? Cursed children. Cursed children. Apostle Paul in Acts says, these kind of men will rise up amidst you after I'm gone. I've got the verses here. They'll be in your midst. I thought of the different ways they're doing it right in church. One of the ways, I got a book that thick, I don't wanna. It's kind of a thing for children, a program for children, so the children don't have to stay under preaching. They can go out and go to Awana and have different kind of things, you know. I believe they might read the Bible once in a while. But they never have the gun barrel straight preaching. Just get them out there and play. Teach the kids it's more important that they play than they get sober, they get serious, they live right. They're cursing the children. Children are accursed by the way they're treated in church these days. They don't have to listen. The Bible tells you that you need to train your children while there's hope. And some of you need to say, well, I don't have children, you got grandchildren, this hand's for you too. So don't excuse yourself here. Do you know one of the ways you can, listen, when you offer something to God, you offer something that's acceptable sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. You want God to accept your children. Well, what kind of a heart or a character are you building in your children that God would say, they're easy to work with, they're humble, and they listen, and they obey you parents, and so there'll be no problem with them obeying me. And I know I can talk to them, and so I'll sow the seed, I'll work with them. You give me a hard head that won't listen, that's full of rebellion and resist, you've cursed your child. He that being often reproved hardness, next shall suddenly be destroyed without remedy. You give me a child that won't listen. Chasten your child while there's hope. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. Just leave it there. The world loves to use it. Cursed children. Children that won't obey their parents are not going to obey God. Children that have rebellion and resistance, they're not going to obey God. Are you listening to me? You're offering them a sacrifice that is not acceptable. Can you deal with them when you can't make them mind? God doesn't look at me. God doesn't chasten the lost. He may curse them another curse. You read all the curses in the Bible, but he isn't going to chasten them. They don't belong to him. I got a lot I want to say, but there's just one more that I want to deal with. Look in 2 Peter here, chapter 2. Read with me. Read with me these words, and I want you to just listen to them. But there were false prophets, chapter 2, verse 1 of 2 Peter. Also among the people, even as there shall be, read your Bible. It's you. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, you that's reading it, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. They're going to be in your church. Jude says they're going to be in there, deceiving people. I said, Paul said they're going to rise up amongst you in the books of Acts. They're going to bring in damnable, that's heresies that destroy. You could take your Bible and right beside that put EB. Easy believism has destroyed millions of people. And you know it. Some of them might be related to you. Some of them's related to me. You can't touch them. You can't talk to them about their salvation. They're more sure. They're more sure than you've ever thought of being. Of going to heaven. But they've got a damnable heresy in their life. And once it gets so ingrained in there, you might as well back off and leave them alone. Keep reading with me. Keep reading with me. Even denying the Lord that bought them. You say, preacher, how do they do that? They're very subtle, but very effective. Do you believe? Would you answer me? Do you believe a person can be holy? Do you believe a person can be holy? Do you believe a person can be a holy sinner? Do you believe God wasn't speaking directly or emphatically or force of enforcement when he said, be ye holy even as I am holy? How much sin did you find in Jesus? You see, all this kind of preaching, it's not my preaching. Look at it out of the Bible. It's just not being preached in the Bible because you can't preach easy believism. You can't preach that you can sin, thought, word, and deed every day. You can't preach that people can live like the devil and wallow in the world and say that they're not going to heaven. You can't preach that nowadays. You're just being somebody that's trying to get converts. I don't want a convert that doesn't come down this aisle by the Holy Ghost of God, because I can't help them. I can't save them. I can't talk them into it. I can't convert them. If the Holy Ghost of God can't break them. The sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite spirit. And I say to you, if a person is not broken, they don't mean business with God. They aren't doing anything with God. If they're just coming down here to say a couple words and somebody tell them to say a couple words, they're not getting one thing from God.
God tells us in the book of Isaiah that's who he dwells with, those that have a humbled spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. He said, that's the ones I dwell with. Look, I'm not done. I want you to look. Just look at this again. Look at verse number 2 and verse number 3, and I'm closed. I'd like to preach an hour on verse number 3. And many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of the whom the way of truth should be evil spoken of. Now he's talking about only a few are going to be saved. Most people will believe a lie about the Bible. Most people will believe a lie. The Calvinists preach a lie about the Bible. The Church of Christ preach a lie about the Bible. And the churches are packed. 15 times more than what's in here. They're packed. The Mormons preach a lie. The Church of Latter-day Saints, I guess same thing, preach a lie. You know they do. The liberal church that says you go through a catechism. My wife's one aunt, she told my wife, Barbara, Barbara says, you know, you said you're going to Sunday school or you're going to something. She says, yeah, we're going through a two-week course. We're going through a two-week curse. A Baptist church told her this. We're going through a two-week catechism, and when we get to the end, we'll be saved. Barbara says, no. I'm standing back. Barbara's preaching to her. She says, no, that ain't the way it works. You don't get saved that way. You know what people are going to do? They're going to deny this Bible so that it can fit their lifestyle and not cramp the way they want to live in the world and love the world and play in the world. Do you know what's destroying children? Is the parents pushing them out there. Get all you can out of the world, reading and hear and get involved with all this stuff in the world. And if you read over in the parable of the sower, you know what deals with that guy, the last guy? He was so full of the world. He's so full, the third one, was so full of the world, the word of God couldn't stay with him. They were so full, the Bible says, I'll quote it, through the cares of the world. Who wouldn't love the pleasures of the world with a lost soul that has one desire, and that is to feed the flesh? Everybody wants the flesh fed. Everybody wants that. You like it. You like emotions and feelings. That's why that people like this worldly music. Speaks to their flesh, don't speak to their heart. I'm closing. Look at this next word down here. Many shall follow their pernicious ways by the reason of whom the way of truth is evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with fiend words. Now I'm telling you what, you talk about something that's deceptive is the way preachers preach with words they add to the Bible. And you know what? Most people love it. They've got no idea they're believing something wrong. These preachers could take this passage and not in a subtle way, they can change it to where here's what this verse means. I'll give you one word. I'm going to wrap this whole verse up in one word that explains what this verse means. And so they've listened to a message and they've got three words. Isn't that wonderful? Man, that's preaching when a guy can put it down to three words. And you go home and all you know is these three words. You're not sure just how to apply them to the Bible, but you've got an alliterated outline. You've got something that they can read, and it means this, this, and this. Whew, man, that's good. Wow, that's good. Heard a guy preaching the other day. Dennis got me in trouble. He says, "Preacher, you need to listen to this. The guy's preaching on a message you won't like." So I looked it up. That ain't Dennis's fault. It's just he told me. So I looked up the message. And the guy was preaching on backsliding. He actually said, he says, "Well, there's some preachers don't believe in backsliding." And so I've just been pretty famous for it. I've heard other places said the same thing. Well, you answer me these questions. Now, that's a nice word to put in for a New Testament Christian that's not in the Bible. You never see a New Testament Christian called a backslider. You never see it. You won't see it because it don't fit a New Testament Christian. You answer these questions and I'm done. If a person can backslide, would you please tell me, inform me, help me? I'm not clear on this exactly how to pinpoint this. Would you tell me just how deep in sin they can get? Where's the cutoff mark? How far can they go? Can they waller? Can they go on and get drunk and lay in a bed of fornication and get involved in immorality of all different types and be a sodomite? Can they do that? I had a preacher tell me, yes, they can do that. Over the phone, yes. Stood behind this pulpit. You believe that? You believe the Holy Spirit of God is going along for that ride? I'm trying to make you to make sense of the Bible, not nonsense. How deep can he go? And how long can he stay? Dennis heard the same thing I heard. Heard a preacher stand there, hold his hands out like this. He says, "You don't know the wicked things this man did with these hands." Then he looked back at us and he says, "I don't care what you believe, I was saved at the time." Curse the children with deceptive lies about the Bible. Curse them! They ain't got a chance! Who are they going to believe? Everybody wants an easy way. Everybody wants an easy road. Everybody wants something that won't interfere with their worldly pleasures and all these things. Everybody wants that. Why? Because the flesh desires that. That is your desires of your heart, the desires of your soul, the desires of your mind. Lust after these things and war with the Spirit. What chance have they got? What chance has sinners got anymore? Why would a sinner want to get saved when a Christian's telling him, "We all sin, we're sinners. But you need to get saved so that you're not a..." Not that you don't stop sinning. It isn't that you just stop sinning. It's you just need to get saved. Is that confusion? Careful little ears, what you hear. Careful little eyes, what you see. There's a Father up above. God help us. God help us. Shall we stand? If the righteous, Peter wrote this, if the righteous scarcely get saved. Doesn't sound like it was, boy, it's just done. Don't sound like that, does it? It doesn't sound like Christians' faith has to be proven.
Got nothing to do with what you say. It has to be proven. Show me your faith and I'll show you my works. Show me. By their fruits you shall know them. The only thing a sinner can go by, would you please listen? I'm close. I promise I'm closing. About the only thing a Christian can go by to relate to is how you live. How you live. I believe that helps you to understand why the Bible says some are gathering and some are scattering. That makes that verse sensible, don't it? Reasonable. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. I didn't stay with it like I ought to. I know I should have stayed more. I'm just troubled. I pray you'd forgive me. Certainly, I don't hate these people, and I don't think every one of them is wicked. I hope they know that. I hope they know that I'm just trying to show what's around and what's influencing this church and every church and what we need to be aware of. Why we can't have communion because there's leaven in our midst. Help us. Help us each one to examine ourselves. Not point finger, examine ourselves. Help us to draw nigh to God. Help us to be a testimony, an example of your grace. May our life not deny you, but may it honor you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You are dismissed.